It's the Wine and Spirits Show presented by MGM Wine and Spirits. Reavers, Fratelloni, and Jeff from MGM Wine and Spirits is here. Hi, Jeff.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Good. Now, Michael and I, we were prepared to do this segment here, and you have an expert. You have a wine expert. Michael,
yeah,
you love wine.
Often, right? I do love wine.
Yes.
And I really like the fact I'm Italian, right?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know much about Italian wine, but Jeff brought somebody who knows everything about Italian wine and everything about Chiantis, and I think that's an important subject that we should talk about.
What do you have, Jeff?
Well, we have a gentleman named Alfonso here today. And as Mike mentioned, at all of our 40 locations, one of the questions we hear most often about Italian wines is information regarding Chianti. What is it? What varietals? Chianti, Chianti Classico. There's a little bit of a mystery still attached to it. Even though it's very well known, and even though it's very popular, there's still a little bit of a mystery to it. So I have Alfonso here from Wine Merchants to help us to appreciate what Chianti is and explain a little more about it for
Fantastic.
Our customers. So. I'll turn the microphone over to him.
Awesome. Alfonso, step right up in the microphone. First of all, thank you for coming in today. We appreciate it.
Oh, thank you, guys.
Now, give us the tutorial. Let us know, you know, what we're dealing with.
Well, first of all, Chianti is the oldest wine region in the world. The Etruscan planted the first grapes in Chianti Classico. Actually, the Etruscan were in Tuscany before the Greeks, before the Romans. They were the people that planted the first grapes. And Chianti Classico was the first area that planted wines in the world. People get confused with Chianti. Chianti is a, you know, in 1960, Italy decided to create what's called a DOCG, which is a little pink slip you see on the bottle.
Mm-hmm.
So the government, Italian government runs the wine industry. And Chianti was one of the five original regions that were picked to be DOCG region.
Okay.
DOCG basically is not other than a way that the government tells you how to do the job, what varietals going at, how far can you plant, what the grapes should be, the harvest.
So they're saying if you want it to be called a Chianti, it has to be this. It has to have this
varietal. Yes, it has to be. Usually, it started with it was a blend of like five different varietals.
Okay.
It had to be mainly Sangiovese, up to like 85%, and 15% of different varietals that were called, you know, Colorino, Canaiolo, Malvasia Nera, Trebbiano, which is also a couple of white varietals in it too. Then in the 90s, they kind of changed this rule a little bit where some of the wineries decided not to blend the white varietal and some of them decided to blend international varietal into it. So the laws has changed a little bit in the last 10, 15 years. But you can also do 100% Sangiovese for a Chianti. So Sangiovese is the main varietal. Chianti is the region. Now, people ask me, why would I pay $45 for a bottle of Chianti? Probably you're not buying a Chianti at $45. You're probably buying a Chianti Classico or Chianti Classico Riserva. Chianti Classico is the region that brought Italian wines back to the map. You know, Mike, you were saying before about the weaker bottle, the Chianti weaker bottle. That kind of made Italian wine a little bit funny.
Sure.
You know, people were using it for candles.
Kind of kitschy.
The weaker bottle. Everybody drinks in a weaker bottle. And the Chianti Classico cleaned up the act and said, okay, you know, started buying French barrels, started buying stainless steel tanks, really invested a lot of money into it. So when you're buying a $45, it's Chianti Classico. Chianti Classico is a smaller sub-region of Chianti.
Okay.
Chianti covers about two-thirds of the Tuscan region. You can make Chianti pretty much everywhere in Tuscany. Chianti Classico is one of the sub-region. Other ones are Rufina, Colli Pisani, Colli Fiorentini, Colli Senesi. Those are all sub-regions of Chianti. And Chianti Classico is the most famous.
And do we get Chianti Classico reserves in America?
Oh, yes, you do.
Are those only sold in
Yes,
Italy?
You do. Okay. Yes, you do. You get a lot of great Chianti Classico reserva from families that have been making wine for 1,000 years.
Oh, really?
Okay. And they are phenomenal wines. And again, if you're having a steak, or if you're having a big veal shank or a pork or anything, drink Chianti Classico. It is the best wine with food.
Mm-hmm.
Don't drink it by itself. Chianti is not a wine that you can go to a bar and order a glass of Chianti.
Why is that? Why does it make it the best wine with food?
Because it's a high acidity wine, you know, and acidity wine usually require protein.
Yeah, it's heavy.
Heavy, like a lot of dry cherries, clove, spicy. Again, great. Try it with a steak. You're going to enjoy much more than a Cabernet. I know Cabernet lovers are going to hate me because for 30 years they thought Cabernet was the best wine.
Sure.
You know, Cabernet is kind of monotone to me.
Mm.
You know, it's got that big, huge bulk. It's like a tenor. It just has a big acute, but doesn't really have any finesse into the wine. Chianti Classico has a lot of layers, a lot of intensity, acidity, ageability.
So if I went into MGM and I wanted to taste, if I'm not a Chianti drinker, but I wanted to taste something that's not the stereotype, not the wicker bottle, obviously, you know, the next level up, what am I buying from MGM? What label would be the right Chianti for me, approximately?
Well, you know, there are, you know, you will want to look for, you know, for anything, you know, price range, you will want to spend anything between $14.99 and $21.99. You're pretty safe at that price point.
Very affordable price still.
Something that, you know, one thing I want to say for not to scare people off is just that Italian wines right now, like, you know, you hear a lot of chaos in Italy politically and, you know, and all mm-hmm. around the world.
Right.
We don't do very well at the World Cup. but the wine is probably the only thing that it's a very serious industry. So you're rarely going to find a bad Italian wine, especially if you're pairing it with food.
Sure.
You know, obviously you're not going to get the Merlot drinker to appreciate a Chianti because Merlot drinker is looking for more of a fruity style
sure,
of wine.
Sure, softer.
But if you're looking to hit something like a pasta with meat sauce or mm-hmm. like a veal or pork, Chianti Classico, Sangiovese, those kind of varietals, Nebbiolo, those kind of varietals are made for that kind of food. They crave that kind of food.
We were talking before, too, and he said, Alfonso said he doesn't ever drink Italian wines, just like we'd sit down and have a beer after we mowed the lawn.
Right.
He just doesn't do that. It's always a celebration of family and food and having that and putting it, you know, it's not, I'm going to go have three glasses of a Chianti while I'm watching a football game. It's just not that. Which
correct,
is,
correct. Yeah, it's a cultural thing. You grow up that way. You know, my dad, since I was a kid that I could put my head on the table, I could see the table. All I remember to see was a bowl of wine, a bowl of water. And, you know, my dad had always one or two glasses of wine with his meal. Mm-hmm. And that's it. Then the bowl gets turned off, goes back in the fridge, comes out at dinner. And, you know, there's no wine around my house in the afternoon between 5 and 7 for
sure.
happy hours. And it's just the way it is. It's a cultural thing.
Now, if people are hearing this and want to experience the wine you're referencing too, I'm going to butcher the name, so I'm not going to try mm-hmm. to pronounce it again. But is it a cost thing too, where you, maybe if you're spending more, you're going to get a better bottle of wine, or is that not necessarily the case?
Not necessarily the case, you know. And especially if you want to experiment with Italian wine, you don't have to spend $100 to try a good Italian wine.
Mm-hmm.
Italian, like I said before, the wines in Italy are very good quality from every price point, from the $7.99 all the way to the $700. Mm-hmm. You're going to get great quality, you know. And when I did a seminar a couple of weeks ago with the MGM corporate, we tried wines that were every price point, and everybody was fairly impressed, you know, from Sicily all the way to Piedmont, Valle d'Aosta, Trentino. Every wine had the character, and the comment you hear from people is like, well, this is good.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I never had it before, but this is good. That's why I ask people to go to an Italian restaurant or with Italian food, or in general with food, try a bowl of Italian wines, because it's
and in that case too, it might almost be better if the people are just sampling it, not trying it, not knowing the price of it, because then they will have an inherent misconception about it. Correct.
Yes. Yes. And you know, I'll tell you one thing: if you bag a wine, and with the you have to be like a really big expert. And I tried wines with sommelier, and I bagged that. I put it in a paper bag, a wine that costs $4. They don't know what it is. They never seen the bottle. They're mm-hmm. going to tell you that costs $20.
Oh, really?
It's hard to really, you know, understand where, you know, obviously if you know the name and you look at the label and they tell it's $100, you believe it because you recognize the name or the producer.
Sure.
They but have validity in the name.
Yes, but if I put the producer in the bag, it's not going
to
happen.
You know what I think, too, is that if Italian wines are getting to Minnesota, they've been vetted 10 different levels. You know, it's no one's going to create a rotten Italian wine and say, let's try to push that all the way to St. Paul to get sent out to restaurants. It just will never happen.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's 10 guys like Alfonso saying, no, we're not taking that one, but we'll take all these, I assume.
I agree. You know, those are family wineries. These mm-hmm. people have been there for 1,000 years, 5 generation, 6 generation, they are not going to send out a product that's not good.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
So
destroys their entire name.
Exactly. Destroys their name. Their family names is on the label. That's why I was talking before about virtual winery versus real winery. Mm-hmm. I recommend people to really learn how to drink wineries that really exist because this virtual winery change every year. You don't know what you're getting in the bottle. You may buy from Mike one day and mm-hmm. you buy from somebody else another day. And at the end of the day, the juice changes. These guys are in control of their own product. They know what they're doing.
Changes.
Exactly. Terroir changes. So that's really what the the Italian wines are all about are about the name, the family. Like, same thing with the meal. It's a family business. They care about it.
Sure.
Daughter's involved into it, son involved into it.
Alfonso with Wine Merchants. Well, quickly before we let you go, where do you stand on wine in a box? I'm kidding. I was totally joking.
I don't know. That's a pretty valid question.
Really? Actually. Okay, I was meant it to be tongue-in-cheek, but go ahead and answer
actually,
it.
I just brought in a wine from Italy in a box.
Really? And, isn't that frowned upon? I thought, or don't...
Not anymore.
Really?
We're in the wine sales, you know, so we got to sell whatever people require. Huh. And the quality in a box, I think it's pretty good. There's nothing wrong with that. Again, people that don't drink every day...
I meant that as a joke, and I thought, okay, this is interesting. I didn't know that.
If you're having a glass a day, it stays fresher longer. Yes. It's an easy way to dispense it. You'd love it.
I suppose.
You walk up there, give yourself a little hit.
Yeah.
You don't have to feel guilty about opening a $20 bottle of wine and not finishing it.
I suppose.
I think it's kind of a smart
quality.
Yeah.
And the juice, again, is a good quality. There's nothing wrong with the wine. You know, these wineries are serious. Some of these guys that do wine in a box are serious winery. And the products, you know, it's very hard to screw up a wine today. You
sure.
know, with the way that they make wine today, you know, stainless steel are controlled temperature. The oak is the oak. Mm-hmm. You know, you may get a little more oak than you want it to, but it still that doesn't make the wine bad.
Sure.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much,
thank
Alfonso.
You guys.
We appreciate it. That's Alfonso with Wine Merchants. And, of course, we can find all of those brands that we were talking about, right, Jeff, at MGM Wine and Spirits.
Absolutely. Stop into one of our 40 convenient locations and ask the wine representative on hand. They'd be happy to guide you and make a recommendation for you.
Thank you, Jeff.
Thank you.
You're listening to the MGM Wine and Spirits Show, presented by MGM Wine and Spirits. You're listening to 1500 ESPN.